Okay, we're on the top of Kuf Vav Amar Aleph. So it's a continuation of the stories we were talking about above, about those who would remove themselves from cases because there was a concern that in some way something somebody did was accepting shochad, etc. So the last story that we have is that Rav Anan had someone came to him and he felt that he wasn't able to, again, to give them, to judge them because they had offered him this, bucket of fish that were in reeds or whatever. And he sent the person over to somebody else. And that person then thought that when he sent them over that, oh, this must be his relative, etc. And it's Rav Nachman, and Nachman's relative, so Rav Nachman put him in front of another case, etc. And it kind of like, gave that person priority. So the Gemara says as follows: Rav Anan have a ragel Eliyahu da asigabe. So Rav Anan used to have Eliyahu Navi come to sit with him to have a masin seder de Eliyahu, and Eliyahu would teach him seder de Eliyahu. So kevan da avar hachi istalik. But once he had done this story, it happened where the person came to him and he sent him to Rav Nachman, and he didn't fully explain that this person wasn't his relative, and then the guy got preferential treatment, etc. So the other stopped coming after that. Okay, so Yosef Betanisa. So he sat and he fasted. He felt terrible. Uba Rachme, and he davened. Ve'asa, and so then Eliyahu came back. But ki asa have mavisay beuse. But when he came back, he frightened him very much. Whatever it was, he came back like as an angel. He came back as in some sort of scary. Didn't come back in the usual way. He'd come back before. So what did he do? Va'ave tevusa. So he made a box, something. But Yosef Kameh ad afik le sidre. So he would sit in front of it or in it until he would teach him the Seder of Eliyahu. Vahani the Amrei Seder Eliyahu Rabba Seder Eliyahu Zuta. Right. So we have the Tana de Be Eliyahu and things like that. Things that were learned from Eliyahu Navi. So some of it's called Eliyahu Rabba, some of it's called Eliyahu Zuta. So why is that? Because there Rashi says Seder Eliyahu Rabba Shalom and Chutz LaTeva. That was that which he learned outside of the Teva. So it was Rabba. It was larger. It was more expanded. Seder Eliyahu Zuta Shalom and Besocha Teva. He learned while he was smaller. He was sitting in the Teva. Some say he learned more in the first iteration, and then he learned less in the second iteration. But the bottom line is that there's two different types of Seder Eliyahu. Okay. Bishni the Rav Yosef, and in the time of Rav Yosef, Hava Rischa, there was a lot of Hashem was very upset. Hashem was angry. Rashi says, Hava Rischa Tkas Shamakom Uba Rav Laolam. Hashem was upset, and therefore there was a famine in the world. Okay, so what happened? So Amri Le Rabbanan, the Rav Yosef, the Rabbanan said to Rav Yosef, Libai Ma Rachame. So can you daven? Daven that there shouldn't be a famine. Hashem should be less upset. So Amr Lehu, so he said, Hashda Ma'alisha Dichi Havi Rabbanan Miftre Mikame Havu Paishi Chere Alfin Umasan Rabbanan Be'idan Umasan Rabbanan. So Elisha, when people would leave, right, people would come listen to him speak and teach them, etc. And when they would leave, there were 2,200 people who would stay afterwards. They would remain with him, okay, and he would like kind of take care of their livelihood, etc. But Eden Rischa Lohava Bayrach, but nevertheless, that was also a time when Hashem was very upset and Elisha didn't daven. Sa'ani Bayrach Mi is much less chashuv than Elisha Hanavi. So should I daven like that for Hashem to be less upset? Even Elisha wouldn't do so, and he was such an impactful person. Okay. So says the Gemara, "Mimai de paishe hachi." How do you know that people, these many people, like kind of were left them and stay with him in that way? What is that? How do I know that? Dechsev. So look actually in Rashi for 1 second. Have paishe gabe ochale shulchano. These are people who would sit and they would literally like they were his, they would like live with him basically because they would eat at his table. Trei alafim u'masayim 2,200 people. Dechsev. The pasuk says in Melachim Beis. Esrim lechem velechem bikurim. That they had 20 lechem and lechem bikurim. ha-esrim v'chad, that's 21. V'karmel ha-re esrim v'tartin, that's 22. V'kol echad lifnei mea ish. And every one of them was for 200 people, for 100 people. So that gives you 2,200. Okay? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara darshan's here also. My depaishi hachi, how do I know that there was 2,200? Yichsiv, v'yomer mishar so, ma'atein zelifnei mea ish. Because his misharis, the person who was with him, said, how am I supposed to take this food and put it in front of 100 people? So Gemara says, my lifnei mea ish, we mean in front of 100 people. Ilem the kul lifnei mea ish, if you want to say the 22, you know, portions were for 100 people. Mishnei batzoris, tuvahavu. In a year of famine, 22 portions was pretty good for 100 people. So elad kol chad v'chad kami mea ish. No, it means that every one of the portions was in front of 100 people. It wasn't 22 for 100. It was 22, and then each one was for 100. So you see, there was 2,200 people. Okay, so that's a fair question. How am I supposed to put this in front of, you know, each one portion for 100? That's hard. So you have a miftirei rabbanim mibeirav. So fine. So he has such a thing where by Elisha. So now we're gonna find that they did this actually where lots of people, lots of talmid chachamim, even times of the Gemara. You have a miftirei rabbanim mibeirav when the rabbis would leave Rav. Havu faishe alpha umasan, so 1,200 people would stay. Rabbanon mibei Rav Huna havu faishe timne mea Rabbanon. When they would leave Rav Huna, there were 800 people left. Rav Huna, so fine. So these are again the amounts of people who stayed with him and ate at his table. It's a lot of people. Rav Huna havadarish petleisar amarai. Rav Huna would darshan with 13 different amaraim sitting around him. Meaning that he would give a drasha and he would speak to these 13 people and they would go and say it out to different people in different directions. There were so many people who were there, they couldn't possibly have everybody hear him speak. Okay? So, kihavu kame rabbanim mimesifta de Rav Huna. And when people would come, rabbis would come from the yeshiva Rav Huna, v'nafze glimahu, and they'd be learning by Rav Huna, and they would get up and they would shake off their jackets. Havu salik afka, yoma. So the dust from their jackets would cover the sun and would make it dark. Right? And the point being, it was like so many people, and when they get up, it would darken the sky. And the sky would get dark, and they say, oh, they must be getting up from the shir of Rav Huna, right? In Bavel. So it's good, child. Does that mean that they actually could see it in Eretz Yisrael? Or does it mean, no, that when things like that would happen, Rashi says, so Rashi says, yeah, they would actually could tell, right? Because the smoke, the dust would cover the sky. So other than Farshim say, no, it just means that like when they would, at times when the sky would be covered, when the sun would be covered, they'd say, oh, that's like the when they would get up to leave from Rav Huna, right? It doesn't mean literally, but it means that was, you know, there's so many people that they experienced. So, kimiftirei rabbanah mebera rabbi Rav Yosef, when people would leave the base manager of Rabbi Rav Yosef, v'paishya arbamea, so there would be 400 people left, rabbanam. V'karu l'nafshayu yasmen, they call themselves yasomen. Ki have a miftirei rabbanan mebera baye, when they would leave a baye, v'amila mebera pabba, and some say it's Rav Pabba, v'amila mebera vashi, and some say it's from the base manager of Rashi. Havu paishe masan the rabbanon, there'd be 200 rabbanon there. Okay, because of shayu yasmid, they call themselves orphans of orphans. Point being that they were, you know, lacking because they didn't have, you know, from previous generations, etc. Okay, so Amrav Yitzchak bar Radifa, Amrav Yami, mivakrei mumin shibushalayim hayu notlin schar mitshumas halishka. So Yitzchak bar Radifa says in the name of Ami that when people those we're talking about different types of experts in halacha. So those who would check mumin of korbanos, so they would take their money from the Trumas HaLishka. We started talking about this a little bit before, right? And they're all related because here we're talking about people who were Talmid Chachamim and they would eat from the base medrash, right? There was someone financing these Batei Medrash that they would pay for the food of these people. So same thing here. Now we have different, you know, halachic experts who would get money from the Trumas HaLishka. We're going to talk about the difference between the Trumas HaLishka and the Bedek HaBayis. Bedek HaBayis is typically to specifically fix the Beis HaMikdash itself. And the Trumas HaLishka was money that was collected that's all from the Chatzi Shekel that we donated by people every single year. And the Trumas HaLishka was like a little more expanded version of a public fund that was given by the public to be used for things like, you know, paying Talmidei Chachamim, things like that. But it also will be used for, you know, paying for the korbanos and things like that in the Beis HaMikdash. So the point being that those who would check the movement of the korbanos in Yerushalayim, so they would get paid from the Trumas Halishka. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Talmidei Chachamim, Hamalamdim, Halacha, Shechita, LeKohanim, Hayinotlin, Schar, Mechum, Halishka. Same thing, so the people who taught the Halacha also Shechita to the Kohanim, so they would also get paid from the Trumas Halishka. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav, Talmidei Chachamim, Hamalamdim, Halacha, Kemitza, LeKohanim. Talmidei Chachamim who teach the Kohanim how to pick up the flower of the mincha. There's a certain way to do that with your, you know, you pick it up in a certain way with your fingers. So they also would get, again, Nolten Schaim Yitzchumas Lishka, paid from the Trumas Lishka. So Amar Rabba Bar Rav Chana, Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, like Yehi Svarim Shiv Shalayim, Hayi Nolten Schaim Yitzchumas Lishka, the people who would edit the Svarim. So they also would get paid by the Trumas Lishka. Amar Rav Chanachman, Amar Rav, Nashim Ha'orgos B'Parchos, Noslos Schaim Yitzchumas Lishka, the women who would fix the, and as soon, right, it seems at first parochas is like the, right, the curtains of the Beis Hamikdash, sounds like at this point, would again get paid from the Trumas Halishka. Svani Omer Mekache Bedekabayas Holu Parchos Tachas Binyan Asuyos. And I say, he says, that they wouldn't get, the women who took care of the parochas, they would not get paid from the Trumas Halishka. That's the Kache Bedekabayas, because again, that's the Beis Hamikdash proper. So the money would come from there. So the question is not so fast. Mesive nashim ha'orgos parchos ubayis garmu amaisa ubeis garmu amaisa lechem avanim ubeis avtinas amaisa akatares. So the different people in charge of different things. So the women were in charge of the parchos. The base garmu was in charge of the lechem avanim, and they had a special recipe how to make the lechem avanim. Ubeis avtinos had the recipe specifically for the katares. So kulan hayu notlos schar mitchumas alishka. They always got paid in the Trumas Lishka. So what you just told me, that the argument was that the people who take care of the parochas should get paid from the Bedek Abayas. And every time the people who take care of the parochas get paid from the Trumas Lishka. Which one is it? And it's Gemara, no, Hasan B'debave. No, that's because they're getting paid for the, there's the parochas mamish from the inside that separates the Kodesh from the Kodesh Kodeshim. And then there were other you know, drapes that were in different parts of the Beis HaMikdash, separating the Beis HaMikdash from the outside. So that's what we're talking about. That comes in Trumas Halishka, as opposed to the parochas itself, which comes from the Bedek Abayas. So the Amar Bizera, Amar Rav, Shlosha Asar Parchos Hayu B'Mikdash Sheni, because Bizera would say in the name of Rav that there are actually 13 parochos, not just the regular parochos, but 13 of them in the Mikdash Sheni, the second Beis HaMikdash, Shiva Keneged Shiva She'arim. There were seven of them connected the seven different gates to get into the Har Abayas. Echad lepischa shahecha, one for the entrance to the heichal. Ve'echad lepischa sheulam, and other to get into the entrance of the ulam. Beis bedvir, beis keneged ba'leha. But the point being, there were lots and lots and lots of them, and that's totally separate from the parochas that was kept, that was there on the inside to separate the kodesh and the kodesh kodashim. And that's why that one was paid for by the Bedek Abayas, and the others were paid for by the Trumas Halishka, because it wasn't actually part of the Beis HaMikdash proper, but part of like sort of the entrances to the Beis HaMikdash. Instead. Okay, let's just start the next part of the Gemara for a minute. Tana Rabbanan. Nashim hamagadlos b'neyem lepara. So there was a whole fancy process of when you would create the paraduma water, right? So they were very careful that the children who would pour the water for the paraduma water had never ever come into contact ever with tuma space in their life. And in order to do that, there were women who would have children in a specific area that was kept, and it was like on bedrock, on places where there was nobody ever buried ever. And they would literally go there, have their children born there, and they would keep them there until they're like 7 or 8 years old. And then those children would go ahead, and they would be the ones to pour the water that was used for the paraduma water. There's no question why they did that, because of the tzedukim, but the point is that that's what they would do. So these women who did that, so if they would keep their children there a lot of times, what would happen? Who paid for it? They have all these people, women who were living there with their kids. So who paid for that? So the Trumas Halishka paid for that. So Abba Shah Omer, no. There are certain women, certain wealthy women in Yerushalayim who paid for all this. Who paid for them to do so. So Ba Minei Refuna Merav Klisharis Maosh Yasu Mikatshei Bedek HaBayis. So they asked the question, what about the Klisharis? Now we'll stop here. This story now starts a new conversation, so we'll continue with the Klisharis tomorrow. Okay, sure.